Reish Chaf Tes, yeah?
Yes.
Ha'ayel, Yehudi Shezoche Lemusa Kiddush Hashem. So we spoke about two different types of Mesiras Nefesh. We're trying to understand the sugya of Kabbalah Yisurim Ba'av, and it's really the Ikavod of Rosh Hashanah. This is one of the aspects, Ika aspects of Rosh Hashanah. Shnei Yonim Mesiras Nefesh Eilu, Remuzim Be'inim Akedah. These two types, these two aspects of Mesiras Nefesh are hinted to in the Akedah. Ha'ayel Mesemel Esa Yehudim Ashehem B'chinas Nechaz B'zvach B'karnov. The ayel, the shechting of the ayel, is a remise to the Jews whose thorns, whose horns, are caught up in the thorn bush. They're entangled. Now the ayel's horns were caught up in the bush. So that is a remise to the Jews who are caught up. Hayim mistabchim ba'aveiros b'meshach kol hashana. They're immersed in their aveiros the whole year. They're caught up. It's like as if they're caught up in their aveiros. They can't get out of their aveiros. Abraham lifted his eyes and he saw the aisle with his horns caught in the bushes. What have to be caught in the bushes for? Melamed is coming to teach you. What does this mean? Nitash. He was entangled. Mechoresh ze v'nizbach b'choresh acher. He was entangled. What's a choresh? He was entangled from this and then got entangled in another thing. It's like he's going from one entanglement to the next. That may be the kavanah. So too in the future your children they're going to be completely caught up in their avarias and drowning in sorrows. The safe and legal, the crown of shall ayil, and eventually they'll be redeemed through the horn of the ayil. That's the shayfa. Ha'ayil amnam neshchat b'poil, but you have to know the ayil was shechted b'poil. Yitzchak wasn't shechted b'poil. He was shechted kabbalistically. His neshama went into that's not our business. The ma'aseh, you know that Yitzchak wasn't shechted. Our last night in Slichus we said, or this morning we said in Slichus, that the ashes of Yitzchak should come before you. Which ashes? Fine. So those are the ashes of the eye or whatever. Kabbalistically, you can work out that Yitzchak himself got shechted. Fine. The Rav spoke about, but we know that Yitzchak never got shechted. Who got shechted was the eye. Who's the eye? Those people who choose not or don't live the Mesiras Nefesh v'Hashem. So what's going to have to happen to them? He never nullified his desire to live. Yodim elu she'asotin who are Yetzirah mesavchem ba'aveinos. The Sotin, who's the Yetzirah, who entangles them in their avodas. Damin am la'ayel she'asotin soifchu u'me'arvei. They are like the ayil that the satan entangles and confuses. Achem zoyche b'seif chayehem, but at the end of their lives they merit lemois b'poyel al kiddush Hashem. They die al kiddush Hashem. Person dies because he's Jewish. That's it. Dies al kiddush Hashem. He's a kodesh. He couldn't live as kiddush Hashem. He couldn't live b'mesiras nefesh. So he dies b'mesiras nefesh. We'll see over the page. We'll see. We'll deal with the Shah as being the Akedah. We'll see how the Holocaust, how that was the Akedah. But we'll get there slowly.
So are we saying that there was greater to?
I don't know what's greater. Let's see. Let's first do the other side. I'm not choosing sides. We're talking about what is. What is that you've got a choice. You're either going to live in a serious nefesh or you're going to die in a serious nefesh. But you're going to have to get one or the other. You're going to have to get. You're going to say, you love a cash. A lot of people don't live in a serious nefesh. They don't die in a serious nefesh. Okay, we haven't dealt with those yet. So. Whoever the guy doesn't dance Kiddush Hashem, and he never lived as Kiddush Hashem. So first of all, you don't know who lives and who does off Kiddush, who lives off Kiddush Hashem. So we're not in a position to judge. It looks from the outside like he didn't find, but you don't know. I've told the story here about the Jew from South Africa who was a posh Jew. No one ever thought anything about him. I mean, certainly, I don't know if he was from. He wasn't from. He certainly wasn't. He was a storekeeper. And when they interred his grave 50 years after he died or whatever, he was 100% intact. It means he was tzadigomo. So we don't judge too quickly who lived versus who didn't. We don't know what the criteria are. But we do see people who seem to be, you know, not living the mysterious nature. Should don't die. That's kashi. We'll see where we go with it. We're talking about what we do visualize. We see people who won't show Mitzvah bits. Who does Kiddush Hashem? This lost summer vacation. There are a lot of people who weren't living the mysterious nefesh. They died as Kiddush Hashem. They're completion. There was Eichet too. They were the Ayah. There was Eichet too. That's Kiddush Hashem. You die because you're Jewish. That's it. Finish. Nothing to talk about. You don't have to have Kavana. You don't have nothing. Lubasam, oyin di ma'isam yudim kadoshim, ashe chayu b'mesilas nefesh b'yaisam b'chayim. On the other hand, we see that there are Jews, kadoshim, that live their lives b'mesilas nefesh. Es chayayim mesameles hakeda atzma, hakshera. They the symbol of the akeda itself. What aspect of the akeda? The akeda. What is the Akeda? It was the tying, the binding. The Akeda is Yitzhak, literally translates as the binding of Yitzhak. Not the Shechting, not the Korban, not the Otomi, the binding. This is the story of the binding. Yitzhak had been a long mess before. Yitzhak didn't die. Afshe Chazal Moive, Shepirch and Ishmose, Chazal said that he's Neshama left, Sof Sof Achrei Maisa, Akeda who Maisa Chai. At the end of the day, we know that Yitzhak lived. There, whatever you want to say Kabbalistically, but that's none of our business. In this world where we live, where we know what's going on, Yitzhak lived. Yeah, his name's Keitz Chai, he lives while he's dead, whatever it means, but we know that Bepoel, in actuality, Yitzhak lived. Yitzhak Avinu Moses Kol Ritzayin of Lakosh Bochu. Yitzhak gave his entire desire system to Hashem. He gave up everything for Hashem, right? I mean, if Hashem is the king, what does that make me? On Rosh Hashanah, in four more sleeps, how many is it? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. In four more sleeps. Yeah? You're going to have to make Hashem king. How are you going to do that? So if Kaplan told you, read the Psukim of Malchus. That's going to do it? That's all Hashem wants? The whole of Elul to learn how to read 10 Psukim. Yeah, that's Yiddishkeit. That's Judaism. That makes sense to you? Hashem says, make me king on Rosh Hashanah. How? I'm a Lefonai Malchus. Fine, so how long does that take? I've got the Magza, it's all nicely written there, all prepared for you, it's printed in English, French, Spanish, whatever you want, linear, not linear, transliterated, and you say, that's it, you finish that, you go home, that's Rosh Hashanah. So what's the big deal? Any fool can do that. You can train a parrot to do that. What's the big deal? How you make Hashem king on Rosh Hashanah? So I don't know how you're going to make Hashem king, but if you make Hashem king, let's say you make Hashem king, what does that make me? Eved! What's an Eved?
Eved to Melech.
What is an Eved? Whatever you want, Hashem. I don't have desire for myself. I'm here 24 hours a day at your beck and call. What do you want? Just tell me, I'll do it. That's Yitzchak. What does Hashem want? No, what do I want? What do I want? What do you mean, what do you want? You don't ever want. You want what he wants. Imagine the guy, let's say Rabbi Lashev today. Let's say Rabbi Lashev, starting with Zunzan's got a shamash. He's the guy, whatever Rav Lashev, once he's there, he sits next to Rav Lashev, needs something, he goes, he phones, he comes, he goes. You think that guy, poor miskin, eh? He doesn't have a life of his own. Sitting here and he's at Rav Lashev's beck and call, all that. Is that how you feel when you hear about that guy? You're jealous, you'd love that job, no? Imagine being Rav Lashev's Eved. Shach's Eved. Chofetz Chaim's Eved. Can you imagine? You wouldn't want the job? Who's so smart? No? Would you want the job? Yeah, so Hashem says to you, never mind Rabbi Lashev, me, you can come work for me, that's all. You sit next to me, if I need something, you go. You go. You get a phone call. This is a Rav Steinman here. I know you in Beit Shemesh, I just need a big favor. Can you just ask Rav Tzur to phone me? Yeah? Psh! Sorry to bother you. Bother? What do you mean? Wow, me? Hashem says, You make me you make me the melech, so you work for me. You have to worry about anything else. Whatever I want, you're just there, you stick around. Every minute a Jew says, what does Hashem want from me now? You want me to do this? I'll do this. You want me to do this? You want me to learn? I'll learn. You want me to go to chasana? I'll go to chasana. Whatever you want, just tell me what you want. When you make Hashem king, you don't make him anything. You make yourself a subject of the king. That's Yitzchak. Because Moses calling it says, He gave up all his desires to Kosh Baruch Hu. What do you want, Hashem? You want me to have a cigarette now? No, fine, so what? You have a cigarette, yeah. I gave my last cigarette, I gave it to Hashem as a present. The greatest desire that a person has is Rotzen Achayim. If you don't believe me, test it. Go up onto the roof and jump. Try and push somebody off the edge of a roof. Try and push somebody just into a swimming pool. Is it going to get wet? No, seriously, the deepest desire a person has is to live. Ein Rotzen Gevur Mamini. There's no greater desire than that. It's a Rotzen Azeh Moise Yitzhak Min HaKosh Baruch Hu. That desire to love Yitzhak HaKosh Baruch Hu. I'm yours, v'kola sheli shelcha. I'm yours, and everything that I have is yours. And if you think about Pesachel, it's true, because we don't have a life. You have a life without Hashem. Who gave you life? You know, kids, when you ask them to do something, they always say "eni koyach." Have you been around Israeli kids? Mm-hmm. Yeah, who giggled there? You, "eni koyach." Eh? I haven't got energy. I can't do it. So I always say to them, "Who gave you the energy to say eni koyach?" Where did you get the, whoever gave you the energy, say, Nikoyach, will give you energy to go give me a glass of water. Now, get off your. Now, Nikoyach. Well, who gave you Koyach to say Nikoyach? You have a life of your own? You have a breath? Where did you learn how to breathe from? Who taught you how to breathe? You know how to breathe? You know how to breathe. That's what Yitzhak said. Inyan Zeboli, they beat to Babakashosa, Shalitzak, Lekoisha, Yafe, Yafe. It was that level that brought Yitzhak to express the desire to be tied well. Zeu bitul muchlat shirhelgish hatevi hanitra mipnei hamaves. Yitzhak Avinu knew that he'd given up the desire, he'd given up his life to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But at the end of the day, he knew he was human. What's wrong with being human? You see a big knife coming to your throat, no matter how much you've given up your life, you're a human being, you're limited, you're going to maybe flinch. Yeah? So he says, calm down. Tie me down. You know, when the Russians came in here, there was a big immigration of Russians or whatever, so a lot of them never had bris milah. Yeah? So you convince a 40-year-old Russian to have a bris. So you explain it to him, whatever, he decides that he's going to do the bris. The next day, it takes a bottle of vodka and 12 gera shechtim to hold the guy down. You know what I'm saying? To get him into the hospital or wherever they're going to do it, yeah? But yesterday he said he's going to do it. Yeah, but that's really the secret of Nasev Nishma. It says Nasev Nishma, and then Hashem was held the mountain over the head, Hakagigis, and said, you've accepted the Torah, now you're going to die. What do you mean? I just said Nasev Nishma. Hashem said, you want the Torah? You say Nasev Nishma. He puts a gun against you and says, you better take the Torah, I'll kill you. What are you talking about? I just said Nasev Nishma. Well, let me explain that you need that as well. Because no matter how much Nasev Nishma you are, how much you're prepared to give up your life for Hashem, when it comes to jumping off the edge of a cliff, so you see the knife coming, it's not so easy. Yitzhak understood this. He said, tie me down. We would say, you know, maybe if I flinch, whatever, then I'll still live. You know, at the back of your mind, you're hedging your bets. It's not hedging my bets. I've given you my life, Hashem. It's yours. I'm just worried that you might not take it because I might flinch. That's what's so great about, that's what's called a Kedus Yitzchak. Shechting Yitzchak in the mind, that was no big deal. He'd given up his life to Hashem. What we remember on Rosh Hashanah, what we remember the whole year, every day we send the cities, a Kedus, the binding, is what Yitzchak did voluntarily. Living with Mesiris Nefesh is not a simple thing at all. I think everybody here knows what I'm talking about. It's not poshut. Person is he's up against his Yetzer every moment, like the Mesiris Yorim says, from the back and the front, from all the tzadim, you're fighting a war. And then we've got our desires and our tivers, and they've been ingrained and imprinted in us since we were very young. Yeah? So he's talking about a Balchuva, he's got to undo and extract all the negative stuff. Kids maybe from whatever, say he didn't have all the tavas. I'm not saying they don't, and I'm not saying they have other struggles, but you've had 20 years of building up a certain ideology and a worldview and a vision of what you would do with your life, and suddenly you twist it all inside out. There's a lot of resistance to that kind of change. He can do it in a very any second and be over the Ratzon Hashem. The Shem Kachu, he ties himself, binds himself. Who conscious atzmoy, begedarim ubesayogim kadeshlo yipshul kabonay. He builds fences for himself. He builds saying for himself. He does all the positive things a person needs to do in order to prevent it from slipping. There shouldn't be apostle called it. There was the Mesirus Nefesh of Yitzhak on the Akedah. And his children after him inherited it. That's us, we're his children. The Pshuto. Yudim Mesugal Yos Bechayav Oyle Tmima. A person in his life can be an Oyle Tmima, it can be a perfect korban. Kashekol Ishi Yosi, he Oyle Kil Hashem. When he gives up all his I-ness to Hashem. You're the king, I work for you. We're not saying today, we're saying you have to know where we're headed. That's the idea. Sure, it's beautiful. The Maisa Kaida Paola Yitzchak Avinu Avram Avinu. Kadei Shelo Yeh Yehudi Shiyu Menutak Mekesha Brisim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. At the Akeda, Yitzchak and Avram endeavored, set up a system so that there shouldn't be one Jew who should at any stage be disconnected from the Kesha with the covenant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They set into action something which would enable every Jew to maintain his Kesha with Hashem.
If he'll cleave to Hashem on his own,
if he'll time his ratzonis, his natural ratzonis, and he'll cleave to Hashem and his Torah in good, wonderful, that's Yitzchok. But if he's not zoichet to this, and he won't fulfill his purpose in the world properly, it won't be taken away from him the schus to cleave to Hashem. He will also be able to get into Olam Haba and be a Ben Olam Nitzchi. How? That was the goal of Avram Avinu shechting the Ayel Tachas Benoi. Gam im yu yudim asher hisrochku mehashem vasot nisofcha oisam v'chatoim v'aveiros. Even if there will be Jews who will be far from Hashem and the Sotan will entangle them with sins and avodas, because of that they go lower and lower and lower, 49th level of Tumah, they'll nevertheless be able to return to the holy levels by giving up their lives for Hashem. K'doshim ha-mushlochim ba'esh, like the holy ones that were thrown into fire. Questions, comments? No? Yes, okay. So,
it's a lot to take in.
It's big news. Lemaya says the pasuk, I'm putting before you life and death. Hashem says ubachat ubachaim. Hashem says choose life. It means you could have chosen death, right? Hashem puts two palpas in front of you. They're both valid. That's what he's saying, isn't it?
Choose life and death.
It says choose life. Hashem says choose life.
Choose life as being what? Choose life as being.
I say I'm putting two paths in front of you. Hashem says in front of you are two pathways, life and death. I'm asking you to choose life.
No one. Choose death as being in the non-Torah sense.
Look around you.
Talking in the Torah sense. The Torah says choose life. Yeah. So what do you do with all the chilonim? What do you do? What did you do for the first 20 years of your life before you chose the betrover? Why weren't you choosing life?
I chose life as well. I just didn't say in a religious sense.
Hold on, so that's not called life, that's called death. Life means that I'm connected to the source of life. Tzadikim b'misosa nikra chayim and rishayim b'chayim nikra mais. The tzadikim while they're alive, while they're dead, are called alive, and the rishayim while they're alive are called dead. He's not alive, he's not connected to reality. Every time you're doing a veil, you step out of reality, you literally die. There's a thing called rachamim that keeps you alive, so you can do tshuva. But in essence, if you think about it, you'll see it's not shaykh to use your bechira to go against the rotzon Hashem and still be part of reality. Everything in the world is rotzon Hashem. There is nothing in this world that is not the rotzon Hashem. Bechira is a miracle that says you can choose not to do the rotzon Hashem when it's impossible, because everything is the rotzon Hashem.
A human being, a Jew, gets given a special koyach, a thing called bechira, to choose not to do the Ratzon Hashem. That means to choose to step out of reality, because reality is Ratzon Hashem. This is Ratzon Hashem, this is Ratzon Hashem. Everything is Ratzon Hashem, else it couldn't be here. Who?
Everybody must be mad.
When they do an Aveira, you mean? The Gemara says a person only does an Aveira when was Nichnas Lifnim, Ruach Shtus. A person standing next to a cop doesn't steal. Well, if he does, he's either mad or he doesn't believe that the cop's a cop. The advantage we have over the secular world is we know we're insane. That's an advantage you don't want to lose. It's a very useful advantage. We know we're nuts. We know there's a Kosh Baruch Hu, we know he's standing next to a cop and he's still stealing. That's insane. That's nuts. You can't get out of bed in the morning. If you'd be lying in bed and I don't know, if I saw Elisha would walk into your bedroom, you'd get out of bed, right? Fast. A Kosh Baruch Hu's standing there and you can't get out of bed. That's a certain degree of insanity. Okay, I accept the fact that I'm insane.
So this trait of always putting Hashem's rats on before your own, what is it about, like, how do you get the clarity of always knowing what is the Hashem's rats on?
Excellent question. What holds us back is not the fact that we don't believe what I've just said. My guess is everybody in this room buys into the beauty of that idea and knows that that's an elevated, noble existence that is very worthwhile getting in touch with. To just live your life as Kiddush Hashem, to be for Hashem, to give up your life for Hashem, I think everybody in this room believes that that's something very worthwhile to strive for. When we get stumbled and when we get tripped up, okay, is we don't know what the heck he wants from us. We're walking around confused, dark, and not knowing what he wants from me. So we have to start learning.
We're still doing lots of Hashem though.
Hold on a second. You have to start learning. You have to start learning.
For sure, but there's like many good parts that could be justified as being a lot of Hashem.
You've got to discover. You learn. You try. You trial and error. You try this. You try that. You look. You learn. You ask questions. You speak to people. You learn. You develop. So it's real, ideal process. You never get out of that dynamic.
The most important thing,
okay, and that's why you see Gedolei Yisrael put so much energy into it at the end of the day, okay, is you've got to know Halacha. You've got to know at different situations what does Hashem want from you now. Do I make a broch on this apple, on this fruit, what do I do? That's the Ratzon Hashem. That's really where you get your confidence from, that's where you get your simcha from, that's where you get an enormous upgrade in your avoider. Is when you know what you're doing.
Because you keep on learning extra things and then it raises your whole level.
Of course.
So still the things that you do know doesn't mean you're 100% in this.
We always go back. You're always going to be faced with that challenge from the Yetzer Hara. He's always going to come along and tell you, yes, but, there's more. And you're like, let me more. Right now, in this moment, what does Hashem want from me? Now, if I'm a Baal Teshuva and I haven't gone through Shulchan Aruch because I've been through for 6 months, Hashem doesn't expect me to know Shulchan Aruch. So you do the best you can. You did the best you can. You did what you were supposed to do.
So it's not in Mitzias, you were doing the thing that you were supposed to do. It's the fact that you...
You did all you could. That's what you were supposed to do. You were supposed to do the best you could. Sometimes you have to make a mistake. When you're learning Gemara, if you get it wrong, we just learned the Gemara now. Moed, it's a brisa. Mama spent his whole life dashing all the etz in the Torah until he eventually got to one that he couldn't dash it. And he gave up all the droshes of the droshes he had. And he says, the same as I got tzchah for learning them when I was wrong, I'll get tzchah for giving them up when I was right. And the brisa through Shimon. You read a Shetari Chaliyah, there's a principle in Torah that sometimes you have to go down, you have to mamish be re-read in order to go up, so you read itself. Not only that, the concept of tshuva means that every avera you do, when you do tshuva, becomes a mitzvah. You understand what's going on here? You're allowed to make mistakes. The Torah allows you to make mistakes. The Torah understands you're human and you're limited, and especially the Torah spends, Hashem sets up 20 years of your life out there and then suddenly says, yeah, but I want you to survive in this world. What do you want from me? Give me a break. That's why we emphasize so much the essence of the relationship with Hashem. If there's an unconditional love relationship between me and Hashem, so the performance is only important to the extent that I'm able to perform. Hashem doesn't expect Tarek mitzvahs from me right now. First of all, I'm not a Kohen. First of all, there's not a Mikdash. There's a whole bunch of mitzvahs I'm not shaykhin. Cut it down. It's not so difficult. What does Hashem want from me now? I don't know what Hashem wants. Does he want you to speak Lashon Hora? No, you know he doesn't want to speak Lashon Hora. Well, the fine points of Lashon Hora? Fine, so sit up every day, learn half an hour. Here's Lashon Hora. Slowly, slowly, you'll get there. If you want to change something, if you've slipped in an Aveira, the way to improve it, the way to get out of that mess is to learn the Lachos relating to that. Person was a money changer, whatever, lender. So he was involved in Hilchus Ribis. How do you want to get tshuva? How do you want to prepare your neshama? Learn Hilchus Ribis. That's Masakan your neshama. You're involved in a virus or whatever, or something you do. So go learn the things involved in that. In that aspect, that part of Torah will Masakan that part of your neshama.
Rav said about learning halakha. It makes more sense to not learn like the minute aspect of halakha to help us know exactly what.
You go through stages, you go through different stages, and you go through different personalities and different people or whatever. First you have to learn how to learn. You've got to be immersed in Talmud, and you've got to be learning the basic foundations of the halachic system. Halacha doesn't start with Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch and the Art Scroll, Brocha's book or whatever, started long way back. So you have to have a basic grasp, understanding of that system before you start anything. For other reasons as well, you have to immerse in that. Yeah, they're different. Listen, there are different approaches. Yeah, there's different, you know, there's trials and errors, and everyone's tried different things or whatever. Generally, you try and get overviews. Yeah, you do like an overview of Hilchus Shabbos. At least basically, you're keeping Shabbos, as opposed to spend 6 years doing Hilchus Boira and you've been machal everywhere else. You didn't even know there's a thing called Doshen and Malaben, and you're standing there washing your clothes, but making sure you take out the one you want and not the one you don't want. Obviously, that's ridiculous. Yeah. So the general approach is you try and do overviews. Try and do overviews. There's another question as well. Is do I want to give you right now facts, or do I want to give you the ability to get your own facts to Gesund? Do I want to give you the tools to be able to learn, or do I want to actually just give you the information now?
Do you want to give the fish or the fishing pole?
Hello?
Do you want to give them the fish?
Or the fishing pole. Beautiful. Excellent. Thank you. Keep forgetting that one. What do you want to do? You want to give the guy the ability to make a panosa, or you want to give him money every day? So yeah, the approach is to give the guy tools so he'll be able to grow and develop on his own one day. But but there's also plenty of free time in the day. So you want to take out an English halacha book and go through the 39 halachas quickly and read through or whatever. But like, sure, go for it. Why not? Plenty of time. I mean, you know, for somebody who wants, plenty of time available and plenty of books and plenty of tapes and whatever, you can become a bokhi. Roberto says one tape, one hour tape on all the 39 malachas. You can go through the whole 39 malachas in an hour. Avram Golda has a shir. You can go through the whole of Chumash in an hour. All 5 books of Moses in an hour. You have a mamash. You have a reasonable overview of the entire Chumash. I mean, that stuff's available. Baruch Hashem today, you know, we have tapes and MP3s and kol aloshen, and you can make a phone call and you can get daf yomis, and there's plenty of tools out there for you to get the information. But nowhere out there can you learn how actually to go about doing it yourself. So that's why, and yeah, we emphasize that. You're always giving up something in order to get something else. Let me give you my favorite marshal. You have a little 6-year-old kid, not so little. Give him a dollar or a pound or 1,000 rand, and you send him down to the 99 flavor ice cream store, yeah? And you tell him, go buy an ice cream. He's got a buck, he can buy one flavor, right? You know what's going to happen? He's going to come back in an hour crying with a dollar in his hand. You know why? Because whichever ice cream we wanted to choose, the other one looked nice, and he would end up not choosing anything. Every purchase we make in this world has an inbuilt pain. You got $1,000 from an auntie you never knew lived or whatever, and now you're deciding, should you buy the fridge or the chvais or the I don't know, what are the electrical plants you would want to buy?
An oven
or microwave. Should you buy a microwave or a fridge? So you decide you're going to buy the fridge, right? And there's enormous pain that you don't have the oven. That's a child. And now they understand. We learn the physics. Same with Torah. And that's the Yetzirah. I'm busy learning Halacha now. The Yetzirah is busy tagging. Yeah, but what about Tanakh? What about Chumash? What about Sifri, Tos, Kahanim? What about Gemara Shitosis? What about Chumash, Rashi, Swana, Ramba? I mean, it's endless. It's infinite. There's not much of everything. So a mature individual says, look, I have a limited amount of time. I do what I have to do. There's a deeper secret here. Let's say your goal is to finish Shas. Let's say you have a Zamba Shudas. You want to finish Shas. Good thing to finish Shas, right? So I'll tell you now. This moment, how much of Shas can you learn? Let's say one word a moment, right? You learnt in this moment one word of Shas, you're a shas yid. You just finished shas. Because you did everything you could. If you start looking at the world that way, the world becomes a much brighter place. We look at the world and we say, oh, I've already finished shas. Someone says you're a fool. Because you're not going to start. It's not upon you to finish the job. But at the same time, you're not free not to start. Why did the Mishnah have to say that? Obviously. If I don't have to finish the job, so I'll start, I won't finish. No, because we all know there's a big Yetzirah that says if you can't finish, don't start. So what does the fool do? He says, well, there's too much, I'll never get anywhere. So he doesn't do anything. What does the wise man say? It's a Gemara. I mean, the Gemara had this problem already. It's not just our problem. You learn one perek of halacha, yeah, mishnah, yeah, a little bit of tanach, yeah, and eventually look back after 5 years, he'll have finished shas, he'll be amazed how much you can get done. What's the problem? The Yetzer Hara is playing, devil with you. Work it out, just make some quick cheshbonos. 2 mishnahs a day. Yeah, you do the 2 halachas of Mishnah Berurah every day. You finish the of Shmiras Haloshen. You do a perek of Tanakh every day, which is not long, 10-15 minutes. You just know the story. Yeah, in 5-6 years time, you look back. You'll go on through Shas Mishnah. You'll finish Tanakh a few times. You'll be somebody. You'll finish Chumash Rashi. If you this year you do Rishon, next year you do Shani. The year after you do Shlishi. In 6-7 years, you'll finish the whole of Chumash Rashi once. Yeah, you won't be much older than you're going to be if you don't do it. You know, if you're 23 now, in 6 years time, you're going to be 29, whether you do it or not. You might as well do it. I'm just trying to give you a bit of chizuk. That's the way you have to look at it. What do you do in the meantime? In the meantime, you understand that Hashem knows the situation better than you. And Hashem's not going to beat you up because you did what you could.
It seems here, within knowing the rats on Hashem, like you're putting, there's Hashem's rats on, and you're putting that before your own rats on. So learning halakha is like, now I know that Hashem, He wants me to keep Shabbos. So I need to learn halakha, so I know how to do that in a way it's consistent with the rats on the Shem. But that seems to be that the halakha helps when you know what decision it is that you've made a decision. I'm going to do this particular thing. Now, what does the halakha say about that thing? But there's other times when you've got to take into account the rats on the Shem, but you just simply don't know what it is. Can you really say that halakha will help in that situation?
Sometimes there's no halakha for the specific situation. You've got to use your seichel. The more Torah you learn, the more your seichel will be a yosha seichel, the more it will be a das Torah. That's the fifth chalek of Shulchan Aruch. That you're developing as you're learning more and more, as your das is developing, and you're getting more and more through, first of all, Shimush Chachamim, and from Limud Chachamim, you'll start using your seichel. And you'll make mistakes. And you go, oh, I see where I made a mistake, whatever, you'll correct it next time. Yeah. The times where your Rebbe's not going to be there and the Shulchan Aruch's not going to help you and you're going to be in a real pinch, so then what does Hashem want from you? He doesn't want you to rely on Shulchan Aruch because there's no Shulchan Aruch. He doesn't want you to rely on your Rebbe because there's no Rebbe. So why does Hashem put you in this situation? The Ratzon Hashem is, He wants you to see what you're going to come up with. So use your Seichel. The first thing you've got to remember when you become a Baal Teshuva is don't throw your Seichel out the door. All of us have got reasonably intelligent minds, we've made decisions, we have problem solving abilities. Use them. We're very heavily influenced with secular prioritizations, etc., etc. Okay, fine, that's okay. Hashem set up that life for you. So, yeah, I don't. It's not heavy. It doesn't have to be heavy.
It's quite hard to accept it, though, like that. It's kind of. accept it.
Be perfect. Did you hear what he just said? It's very hard to accept the fact that we're not expected to be perfect. Take that Mishnah in Pekah Avos. If it's not a song, make it a song. Make it a mantra. Drum it into your head. That's Mr. Seder for a good few weeks. It's not all or nothing.
Where is it?
Mishnah Pekah Avos Perek Dalit Zayin. Make a mantra out of it. Take it and drum it into it. Understand the Chazal. See what the Chazal is trying to tell you there. The one of the biggest gates of horrors. If you can overcome that one, you'll see gateways opening up. Will free you up from a lot of unnecessary anxiety. Hashem's not trying to trip us up. He's not trying to catch us doing things wrong so he can come down with his big stick and give us a punch. That's not our Hashem. No, father doesn't set up that for a kid. That's it. Father knows the child's going to make mistakes. He wants you to make mistakes. I heard it from a rabban time and time again, you will not get pshat right in Gemara if you didn't get it wrong. You have to get pshat wrong first. The deep Kabbalistic principle, I don't want to go into it now. We have to end it.